Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the afternoon service. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for tuning in on the live stream. And I think we've got the sound issue worked out. If you were with us during Sunday school, we really wanted you to hear the lesson in stereo surround sound. That's why we were doing that. If you didn't get it the first time that it came through, you'd get it the second and then the third time. And for sure, you would know about Gideon. No, that's not why. It just, you know, we're learning these things. So thank you for your patience. And we've got quite the crew back there today working on the camera and on the soundboard and on the computer. Brother Barry and Pastor Nathan, let's give them a little bit of credit where credit's due. And Pastor Nathan's got less hair than before we started Sunday school, but he's getting there. But to God be the glory. We're looking forward to what God has for us in this 4 o'clock hour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to pray here from the pulpit. You pray here and you pray at home, please, that God would do something great in our hearts in this hour. Heavenly Father, we do lift up this service to you. We thank you that we have this building to use today and we have the technology to be able to keep our church connected as best as we possibly can. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in the Sunday school hour, and we're looking forward to what you have for us in this hour. Father, we pray that if there's anyone here or under the sound of my voice online that is not saved, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, there's several that we've been praying for that they would get saved. And I pray that even today, in this very unique setting that we are in, that today would be the day that they humbled themselves and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we do thank you for how you've met our needs, and we pray that you'd continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing a couple of songs together. And so if you have a songbook there in your home, we're going to turn to 337. 337, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way. And we're going to sing all the verses of both of our songs today. Trust and Obey, we'll start with 337.
272. I'm on the winning side. Aren't you glad you are on the winning side when you are in Jesus Christ? And you can be on the winning side today. If you're not saved, you can make that decision today as well. 272, I'm on the winning side. We'll sing all three stanzas. Sing out in your living room or wherever you're watching this today. 272, I'm on the winning side.
Tremendous in that on those songs. Thank you, Brother Charles, for helping us. I'm going to have just a couple announcements, and then we're going to take up our offering, and we're going to show you a video while the offertory is being played that will explain in these days of not having the ability to gather together and actually take up an offering, of how you can continue to help support the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. Just a reminder, now, if you're watching and you're from another local church, this is not for you. This is for the Anchor Baptist Church family, because you should be giving to your local church. But Anchor Baptist Church, we have all of our missionaries we still want to support, obviously. Even though we're not able to meet in this building, we're still paying monthly rent. Our office, we're still paying. All those things, we still continue to have expenses for, and by the way, God has provided, and we praise God for that. But we need to continue to make our budget every week, God willing, in the general and in the missions, and we know that God will supply. So there's several ways. The video, I'm not going to go into it because the video will do a good job explaining that. But even after the video, if maybe you have a question, feel free to get a hold of myself or Pastor Nathan, and we'll do our best to help you with that. Now, we do have a baptism scheduled for next Sunday. I'm not saying that it's on. I'm not saying that it's off yet. We'll let you know. We'll communicate with you about that, okay? And more than likely, we'll have to reschedule it, but we'll try to figure out what we can do with it. Well, this is already one that we've had to reschedule for someone, and we had someone come forward last Sunday and talk to me about getting baptized. So we actually have two people that are ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and that's a blessing. But we'll just have to do what we can do and just see what happens. I'll let you know about that. The other thing is, if you do have a Facebook account, many of you are probably watching either on the Facebook, church Facebook page, or on the church website. But if you do have a Facebook page and you are not connected yet to the new group that we created, we're hoping to be able to do this with another platform besides Facebook. But right now, it's just the easiest for me, being very little techie, to be able to do this. The title of the group is Anchored in Jesus. It's not the Anchor Baptist Church page, which that's open to the public. This is Anchored in Jesus group. And so if you're in that group, please don't invite anybody to the group, because it's only for our church family. And they can be invited to the church page, which is separate. This may be confusing, but if you're not in that, we've got about 45 or 46 people that are in that group. And I'm hoping as many evenings as possible to have 8 minutes with you at 8 o'clock at night. We've done a few of those, and I hope they've been a blessing to you. And so again, it wouldn't take up but 8 minutes, and I hope we can stay connected. And we're also praying about some other ways that we can continue to stay connected. If you're a Sunday school teacher, I sent you an email about staying in contact with your students, and I really want to implore you to do that. This is unusual for anyone, probably in our lifetimes, to have church like this. This isn't anything that any of us could have predicted. But again, God is sovereign. He's given us the technology to be able to do this kind of a service. And little did we know how much we would truly need it. And but we still want to, you know, there is that thing that we have. It's called a phone. And it does more than text and email. You can actually dial numbers on them, and people do answer them sometimes. It's called a phone call. I know that we have gotten away from that completely. We don't even do that hardly with our family anymore. Because probably if you have a Sunday school class, I'm thinking of Miss Diane and Miss Ross, probably not too many of your kids have cell phones. You can stay in contact. I'm not picking on Miss Diane and Miss Ross if you're watching. I love you in the Lord. But all of us just trying to continue to take care of one another, reaching out to our seniors. You have the numbers in the directory. Reach out to our seniors, see if they might need something done. And let's just, in love, serve one another. And let's be thinking about others. So that's some announcements. We will be meeting live again, God willing, on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, we're not assembling here. Just a handful of people that are helping with getting this broadcast on. But we will be sending you a prayer page partway through the day. So that you'll have that, we'll go over that together, we'll sing a couple of songs together, and then we'll have the Bible study. Now, I'm saying all of this, but things can change within 24 hours, as we've noticed over the last couple of weeks. So it could be that I will be broadcasting to you from my living room on Wednesday night. And I'm not saying that we want to do that, but it might have to be that way. But it's in the Lord's hands, and so we'll just keep trusting Him. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and have our offering. And let me again encourage you to, this isn't the time to step away from the broadcast, because we have a very helpful video that you'll see during the offering. And I'll pray, and then we'll take up the offering. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you again for your supply. And every Sunday, Lord, we pray that you would meet the needs this week in the general fund and in the missions. And just because it's a little unique setting, we still need you to do that. And I pray that in this hour or in the hours to come, that, Lord, we would give our tithe, and that we would give our missions offering and any other offerings that you would lay on our heart. Thank you so much for how you take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yadir, wonderful. Be still, my soul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Let's go there today. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And I was just looking at some people that are from Anchor Baptist. Thank you for giving us your feedback. I know some are still having some technical difficulties. We're praying that the technical difficulties can be worked out for you.
Again, we're doing our best. And I do thank Pastor Nathan for investing a lot of time this week and learning something brand new. And again, we just hope that it'll be a blessing to you now, or maybe you will be tuning in after the fact as well. And we trust that, again, God's word would be a blessing. All right. This afternoon, I'd like you to take your Bibles, as I mentioned, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And I'd like to speak to you on this theme, a good report during troubled times. A good report during troubled times. You know, this is a very unique situation that the whole world is in. And it's amazing to me. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said to me, you know, isn't it incredible that something that isn't visible by the human eye can bring the entire world to an halt? Something that we cannot see with the human eye. You have to see this thing under a microscope, and we've all seen the pictures of it blown up on social media and all over the world of what this virus looks like. But you can't see it with the human eye, and yet the whole world has come to a crashing halt. So many things have over, I say in a week, but really in days, and I know that it's been in other countries and working its way and all of that. And I don't know all the ins and the out of it. I just know this, that it is pretty amazing how quickly a world that views itself as being indestructible is very destructible. When I'm mentioning that, I'm thinking about the philosophy of the world in which we live in and the power that is in the world, the power of finance and the power of commerce and the power of everything, that it's not that powerful when you think about it. And I wonder what our holy God must think from time to time as we, his creation, act the way that we do. Well, what I'm getting at is that troubling times are not new, and troubling times are not going away anytime soon. But I'm truly grateful today that we have a God who loves us and has a plan in all of this. We're picking up in the middle of a book of the Bible here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's a book that I taught through many years ago here at Anchor Baptist Church, the entire book. And where we're bringing us into the middle of this is Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and it's a time in the history of the church where he is writing in reference to the report that Timothy brought to the Apostle Paul. In the first couple of chapters of the book of 1 Thessalonians, it's regarding a lot of new Christians, how they had received the truth of the Word of God, and they had received the truth of the Word of God under much affliction. I know I had you turn to chapter 3, but if you don't mind holding your finger there, because we're going to come to it, but turn back to chapter 1, and let's look at just a couple of verses. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we need you today. We need you like we need you every day. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would lay your hand, I know it seems trivial, but you would lay your hand on everyone's technology that they're trying to watch this from, that they would have the ability to be able to hear the Word of God, even if they could just hear the Word of God, because we know, the God, that your Word is what changes lives. It is not the Word of the pastor, it's not the Word of anyone else, it's the Word of God that changes lives. And we pray that you would just enable this technology here, and those that are watching in living rooms and so forth, that it would work properly, and that everyone could hear what you have for them today. Father, we're praying that someone would be saved because of this today. We're praying that we would even have someone maybe write us at the end of the hour and say, today my son got saved, today I got saved. Thank you for having the service. And again, it's not about us, but it's all about you. Help us to recognize what you have for us in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in verse number 6 of chapter number 1. The Bible says, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much what? Affliction. In much affliction. So again, as we see, affliction isn't anything new. Notice how they received it, though. They received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, these Thessalonican believers willingly gave up their idols. They willingly gave up their pride. They willingly gave up whatever it was that they were trusting in to follow the one true God. Then if you look down in your Bible to verse number 9, the Bible says in verse number 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from" what? Idols. "To serve the living and true God." Here is a church plant. Here is the Apostle Paul. And we'll look maybe later on where this actually takes place back in the book of Acts. And everything that surrounded this church plant, it wasn't just that the city of Thessalonica and everybody in it, as we say, rolled out the red carpet and said, "Okay, come on in, start a church here in Thessalonica. We're so glad that you're here. We really were anticipating you coming, and we're glad that you're here." No, that's not what happened. The Bible says that it happened under much affliction, verse number 6, as we read. They had to humble themselves. They turned from their idols to the living God. And you know, isn't that salvation? Salvation to us, for us today, is turning away from unbelief, turning away from anything that we were trusting in to take us to heaven, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, you're not going to get saved by being baptized. You're not going to get saved by being at church. You're not going to get saved by simply doing good things. No, we must turn from that. Those are all idols. And turn to the one true living God who provides salvation. And I'm truly grateful for that. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2 as we continue to get head away to chapter 3. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you." What does this mean? It means that our entering in, our coming to Thessalonica, it was not in what? It was not in vain. What a great reminder to these new Christians. Again, Paul is writing a letter to send back to the Thessalonican Christians. The church has already been established, okay? And he's sending a letter back to them to encourage them. They've gone through some difficulties. They've gone through some affliction. But Paul reminds these Christians that even though he was unable to come at this time, that God was in control and God was working, and the work of God in Thessalonica was not hindered because Paul was not there. No, the work of God would continue in Thessalonica because God was there, because God was empowering it. And by the way, wherever we are today, wherever we live, whether it's the greater Vancouver area, here in Burnaby, Coquitlam, Port Moody, and beyond, or even our guest here from Victoria today, praise the Lord, even in Victoria, God can do great and mighty things. He doesn't need BC ferries. He can just be there as he wants to be. There, wherever you're listening from today, remember this, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work that we do for God is for Him. It is for His glory. Drop down, if you will, in chapter 2 to verse number 17. The Bible says there, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence," they weren't able to be there long. It's an amazing story, actually, if you read about it, how that the Apostle Paul and his team, we'll talk about that, they were basically ran out of Thessalonica. They didn't want what they had to offer. Now, the remnant was left behind. The church was established, but praise the Lord. Paul said, even though we were not there in presence, notice what he says, we weren't taken from you in what? Heart. You see it there? Chapter 2, verse 17. Am I in the right verse? I've been messing up a lot with verses, yes. Yeah, in heart, in heart. You know what, when I read that, I began to think about where we're at right now. Here we are, 2020, March 22nd, praise the Lord, but we're not gathering together in one another's presence. Paul says, hey, I wasn't able to be in Thessalonica long, and I want you to know, Thessalonican Christians, I want you to know that even though we couldn't stay long, and even though we're not there right now, I want you to know that it doesn't mean we're not there in what? In heart. What does that tell me? That tells me this. Paul was letting them know, hey, I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I just want you to know you're on my heart. And I just want you to know, Anchor Baptist Church family, Anchor Baptist Church folks that are listening today, and I'm speaking right now primarily to you, that even though we aren't gathering together regularly as we would love to be today, I want you to know that even though our presence isn't together, that it doesn't mean that my heart is not praying for you. It doesn't mean that my heart is not longing to meet your needs. And I hope if you have them, you'll get a hold of me and you'll let us know how we can meet your needs. That's exactly what's happening here. Paul is not in Thessalonica. He's right writing a letter, sending it back, saying, hey, even though we weren't together long, I want you to know that you're on my heart. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? I hope we can get together soon. I hope we can see each other face to face. Isn't it great, the wonderful technologies that we have in 2020? We haven't been able to see our grandson Carson for quite a while. But yes, we have been able to see our grandson Carson because he can call us on the phone and we can see him, not just talk to him. We can see how he's bulking up in his 24 pounds and we can see how God is growing him. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, you know, we're looking forward to when we can see each other face to face. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. An obstacle. Troubling times. Difficulty. In chapter 3, Paul writes to the church regarding the report now that Timothy brings. Timothy brings Paul a report back from the church. And now this is Paul writing back to the church regarding what Timothy has let him know. I'd like to point out to you several observations from our text now that we finally made it there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Number one, I'd like to point out that troubling times can make us anxious. Troubling times can make us anxious. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to, what's the next word? Comfort you. Comfort you. Why? Because troubling times can make us anxious. Comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. What does that mean? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Look, I'm writing to you, church, because I want to encourage you that during these troubling times, don't allow the troubling times, don't allow, as he says there in the word afflictions he uses, don't allow, chapter 3, don't allow the afflictions to move you. We touched on that slightly in the Sunday school hour. Don't allow the afflictions that God allows into your life to move you away from God. You know why God is bringing afflictions into our life? He is bringing afflictions into our life to recognize that we need God. He is allowing difficulties to come into our life to realize that we aren't able to live the Christian life in our own strength. And we aren't able to function whether there's a virus going around or not. We need God. We need God. And that's what Paul is saying here. I just want to encourage you, church at Thessalonica, don't be moved by these afflictions. That moving that he's speaking of is a moving away from their faith. No. May God use afflictions. May God use troubling times to bring us closer to Him, not further away. The word afflictions there means anguish or burden from above. You know, God allows burdens to come into our life for His glory, for our good. It's like being under the thumb, if you will. There's an unrelenting pressure that keeps us up at night, that keeps us stressed out during the day, that even if we don't look at it properly, it will develop into worry. Now, that's not what God wants us, because the Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, but anxious times can, troubling times can make us anxious. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Troubling times should cause us to focus more clearly on the precious Word of God. Oh, I hope today that not just in these 2 hours that we're together, but I hope today that this Word of God has been precious to you. I hope today that you've taken out the Word of God and you've been able to drink some milk from the Word of God. I hope today you've been able to open the Word of God and even have some meat from the Word of God. I hope today that God has spoke to you, and you've heard from God through His Word today. Look, there is so much that we can focus on. Let's focus on the truth. Let's focus on the Word of God. Yes, let's be aware maybe of what is happening, but the truth is still able to set us free. Number one, troubling times can cause us to be anxious. Number two, troubling times are appointed. Look at the end of verse 3. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Wow. Paul is saying, hey, Christians, don't let these afflictions move you because these afflictions were appointed by God. Yes, think about the early church in Jerusalem. If you know anything about the early church in Jerusalem, it wasn't until what came that they began to spread out with the gospel? Persecution. When persecution came, the church at Jerusalem began to spread out and take the gospel to the ends of the earth, or whatever the ends of the earth were at that time that they knew of. All I'm saying is, Paul is saying here, troubling times are appointed. They are appointed by God. They are part of God's plan for believers. I want to give you three things quickly that troubling times bring into the life of the believer. Number one, troubling times, they are part of God's plan for believers. Number one, underneath this, I don't think it's on, not on the screen, but just write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, or letter A under this, troubling times build character. They build character. Go with me quickly to James chapter number one. James chapter number one. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. By the way, for you Anchor Baptist folks, I know this is kind of a PS in the middle of the message here, but we do want you to have a songbook in your home. We're willing to loan you a songbook. If you don't have, I meant to do this in the announcements, but if I don't do it now while it's on my, I just thought of it. I don't know why God let me think of it now. But we'd like to bring a songbook to your house. We'll drop it off at the door. We'll knock and run really fast if you want us to, in all seriousness. But we would like to deliver a songbook. And I know a couple of you have purchased them. I'll try to get those to you. You know who you are. I won't embarrass you by mentioning your name online, because we are online, and you've paid for them already, but I want to get those to you. But seriously, if you don't have a songbook at home, we want to bring one to you for the foreseeable future that you can borrow it and use it. James chapter number 1, so let us know about that. Verse number 2, James 1 verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy. Wow. You know what? I know it's in the Bible. I know it's true. But you know what? When you're in the middle of a difficulty, when you're in the middle of a troubling times, it's very difficult to say, you know what? This is joyful. I'm going to count this joyful. Again, very difficult. It is possible, though. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means different kinds. Manifold, different kinds. Coming from all different directions, you know, and that's how it is sometimes in our life. He says, count it all joy when this happens. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature. How are we going to be mature? Trying times, manifold temptations. How are we going to be mature? Diverse temptations, various kinds. It worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I submit to you, number one, that difficult times builds character. That's exactly what James is talking to this there in the Word of God, that God wants to build into your life and my life. Number two, turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number three, number five. Romans chapter number five. It's appointed. You know what? These difficult times in our life, they're appointed. We don't like them. They're not easy, but they're appointed. They make us anxious, yes, but they're appointed. God is sovereign. God is trying to do a work. Hey, God is trying to turn up the heat a little bit so that the impurities will rise to the top and we shall come forth as gold. They're appointed. They're God-ordained. God did not go to bed last week and wake up, or 2 months ago or 3 months ago. He didn't go to bed and, oh, the coronavirus came. No, God doesn't sleep. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's awake all the time. He's in control of everything. They're appointed. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, please, verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations? Glory. That's happiness. We're excited about it. Right. That's not easy to do. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So secondly, and then there's a whole other list that patience builds, but the thing I'm wanting to point out here is that part of God's plan for believers is, number one, building character. Number two, building patience. Boy, how many of us here today, how many of us that are watching online today would say, I am completely patient all the time. Wrong. Wrong. Nobody's completely patient. I mean, we're standing by the microwave waiting for the 90 seconds to count down so that we can eat the popcorn. I mean, and if it's not done in 90 seconds, and I mean, what's taking so long? No, we're not patient people. I'm the first one to say I'm not a patient individual. I've got to be working on that. And you know what happens? When God brings our lives to a screeching halt and difficulties come in that are appointed, it teaches us to wait. When everything is taken out of our hands, by the way, it's not in your hands anyway. It's not in my hands anyway. And we like to think we've got it out in our hands. No. What's the little song say? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. And you know what? He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. And we could sing all those verses. I won't belabor that. But the point is, a lot of times we get to live in our life, even as believers, and thinking, we've got it right here. No, we don't have it right here. We don't have anything. All God has to do, he's got his hand under mine, if you can see that. God has his hand under mine. When God pulls his hand out, look out, it's done. No, God bringing things that are appointed into my life teach me character. They build my character. They teach me patience. They build patience. Then one more. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? Comfort. Comfort. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Okay? So, when difficulties come, when troubling times come, who's faithful? God is. Who's going to meet our needs? God is. Who's going to comfort us? God is. Why is God going to comfort us? Why are these appointed? Number three, they are brought into my life to have a sensitivity to others who are also facing trouble. Isn't that what it says right there? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now, this isn't trouble like you didn't make your bed and so you got in trouble. Has anybody ever got in trouble for not making their bed? Raise your hand. And I see all those hands out there in Radio Land. We've even got some hands being raised here today of the 10 people or so that are, I want to reiterate that, that are meeting in this room right now. And none of the kids that are here raised their hands, so they're going to have to maybe, there's going to have to be some confession at the end of the hour. But anyway, not that kind of trouble, okay? We're not talking about you stole your sister's cookie and ate it and you got in trouble. Not that kind of thing. Why are you looking at your brother right now? Oh, okay. Anyway, no, we're saying these challenges that God brings into our life, they're brought into others' lives. And you know, many times, all we're thinking about is number one. I'm guilty of it. So when God appoints something into my life, it's not only to build character, it's not only to build patience, it's so that I can have a sensitivity to others that are facing trouble. Someone once said, for the child of God, there are no accidents, only incidents. Think about that for a moment. There are no accidents, only incidents. Incidents that are God-ordained, God-appointed, for God's good, for our good, and for God's glory. Let's go back to our text now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Number one, what did we say? We said troubling times can cause us to be anxious. Number two, troubling times are appointed, though. Now, number three, here's one, verse four. Troubling times should be anticipated. Verse four, look at verse four. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should what? Suffer tribulation. Hey, you know what he's saying? When we were there, when we started the church, great. It's a powerful, powerful picture of how God started the church in Thessalonica. Paul is saying, hey, we told you when we were there that it wasn't going to be easy. Yes, God is faithful, but troubling times should be anticipated. Look at verse number 4 once again. Even as it came to pass, and ye know. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Preparation is one of the utmost importance in the Christian life. In fact, in the Christian life, it is vital that we prepare. How many times have we been unprepared for something? Now, I'm not necessarily thinking about in spiritual things right now. Maybe there was a project at work. For me, it would go back to maybe some of my term papers in high school that I had to write, or in Bible college that I had to write. It's the night before it's due, and what happens? I'm done, and I can sleep peacefully that night. Wrong. I'm not done, and I've got to cram, and I've got to hope and pray that it gets cold enough that a lot of snow comes down. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about, writing papers. And I hope someone that was one of my English teachers never gets to see this. But I was hoping for a snowstorm. And not literally. I was hoping for God to just give me divine intervention as I have to write these thousands of words and come up with a lot of ands and A's and, you know, just fill it in with all this snow. You know, preparation, preparation, preparation. Be prepared. Paul said, hey, we told you when we were there that trouble was going to come. Expect troubled times and make preparations for them. I don't know anyone that has ever lived a trouble-free life. Charlotte Elliott said this. Charlotte Elliott, by the way, was born in 1789 and died in 1871. Charlotte Elliott penned these words, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt. Fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Charlotte Elliott said that she went through many a conflict, many a doubt. She experienced fightings and fears within and without. She wrote about her own conversion in the third verse of that great song of which I just quoted you. Quickly go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some of you may know this verse from memory. Troubling times should be anticipated. They cause us to be anxious. Troubling times are appointed. Troubling times should be anticipated. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Persecution. Just because today you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, doesn't mean that we're going to be trouble-free. God promises, though, that He will go through it with us. I want to encourage you, trust and obey. Let's go back to our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We have two more to look at. Look at verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Number four, troubling times can allure us away. They can allure us away. How does Satan tempt me during troubling times? How does Satan tempt you during troubling times? Let me give you these quickly. Number one, he tempts me to doubt the goodness of God. He tempts me to doubt the goodness of God. I don't know who's listening to this right now, but I want to tell you over and over again, and I've been writing it in emails, I've been writing it in text messages, God is good. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that. God is good. There's nothing about God that isn't good. Now, what can happen when difficulties come our way? We take our eyes off of the one who is good, and we put our eyes on the difficulty, and we quickly can be allured away from the one who is good. But I'm thankful this afternoon that it doesn't matter what God allows into my life. God is good. So he can tempt us to doubt the goodness of God. He can whisper in our ear that God has forgotten about us. He can whisper in our ear that God doesn't care about us. He can whisper in our ear that God isn't good. I mean, how is a loving God good when he allows a church not to meet together on his day? How can God be good? You know, that's what the enemy's going to do. The enemy's going to, and I was saying this in somewhere, I don't remember where I said it, but maybe it was Sunday school. I've forgotten already, and that was only an hour ago. But the enemy's going to try to shake our faith. Was that in Sunday school? Does anybody here remember if I said that there? No? So that was at the men's meeting this morning? Okay, the men's meeting. Thank you. All right, good. I knew I said it somewhere today, that the enemy's going to try to shake our faith. And that's exactly what his enemy's going to try to lure us away, that as soon as this assembling together ban is lifted, that the enemy is going to say, look, you don't need to go back to church. God's not good. God wasn't faithful. Look what God did. I mean, people are having to go on the internet. We're having to try to figure out all this technological stuff. No, don't allow the enemy to take you to a place where you get to a place and you think, why is God doing this, that God isn't faithful and he doesn't care? No, God cares about your every need. Hey, the Bible says he cares about the hairs on your head or the lack of them. Amen. And God cares about it. Secondly, the enemy will try to tempt us to retaliate against others in anger and resentment. Oh, in these times, our stress level many times can go up, 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 and up. No, this isn't the time to lash out at anybody. Oh, this is the time to ask God for his grace as we interact with one another. Thirdly, I was talking to someone earlier today about this very thing. The enemy in these times, he tries to allure us into a season of despair and discouragement. You know, it's very difficult, I'm sure, for people that have had illnesses for years. I mean, you know, I don't want to say serious illnesses because it's always serious when it's your illness or my illness. But I'm not really talking about necessarily the cold that you get every year, but, you know, they're serious, okay? I'm talking about people that wake up in the morning in pain and go to bed in pain. I'm talking about people that, you know, we've all probably been affected by cancer. I'm talking about people that even in this day that we live in are suffering with this virus, and many, 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 many people have died. I'm talking about going through a surgery and an accident happening like happened to Pastor Campbell many years ago. Some of you know that story. Him being in this, I don't know if it was this pulpit or not, but over at the hotel, I'll never forget that, and how he labored in the Word of God and could hardly stand still because he was in so much pain. You know, it would have been very easy for somebody like Pastor Campbell or somebody very easy like people that you know that have suffered and gone through difficult times, troubling times, to be allured away and just think, well, if this is how God's loving me, I'd rather not be a part of it all. All these things that we speak of lead to the ultimate act of desperation where we give up on the things of God. You see, that's what Paul was talking about here in verse number 5. He says, lest by some means the tempter allure you away. So number 1, troubling times can cause us to be anxious. Troubling times, number 2, they are appointed. Troubling times need to be anticipated. Troubling times can allure us away. Let me give you one more. Oh, I love this thought. Look at verses 6 and 7. Troubling times are overcome by our assurance in the Lord. Verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us. Notice the transition from verse 5 to 6. Verse 5, he's kind of like talking about, I'm concerned about you. I think the tempter is going to try to allure you away. And then that's a transitional statement, but now. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto me, unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your what? By your faith. By your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Number five, troubling times are overcome by our assurance in the Lord. We were comforted. Paul says we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And I would circle that word faith. That's what we need in 2020. We need an increase of faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, by faith, by faith. Hey, by faith, let's live these days in 2020. Paul said, hey, I was concerned about you, but when Timothy came, when Timotheus came, and he let us know that your faith was strong, that your faith was strong because you were standing fast in the Lord. Church, Anchor Baptist Church, let's stand fast in the Lord in this month of March 22nd, 2020. Let's stand fast in the Lord. How long are we going to have to meet this way? I don't know. But let's not think about that. Let's think about standing fast in the Lord. How long are we going to have 6 feet in between us and the next person? I don't know, but let's stand fast in the Lord. Troubling times are overcome by our assurance in the Lord. May your assurance be in your God's character today, that He is good and He makes no mistake. May our assurance be in God's word, that it is true no matter what happens to us. Let our assurance be in God's purpose today, that He is conforming us to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let our assurance today be in God's promises that He will never give us more than we can bear. Let our assurance be in God's presence that He is with us even in the darkest moments of life. Let our assurance be in God's power that He can deliver us from every temptation. Church, let's put our assurance in the Lord. Let's, in this troubling time, let's put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has everything that we need. And why are we able to do that? Why are we able to look to God? Why are we able to have this assurance in God? Because there came a day in our life where we heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that we were a sinner. We heard that our sins had separated us from a holy God. We heard that our sins would cause us to go and spend eternity in the lake of fire, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We heard the good news that God commendeth His love toward us. God proved His love toward us, commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I'm glad for the gospel message. I'm glad for the word of God that says, for the wages of sin is death, but, there's that word but, just like the word but here in our verse today. It was a transition. It's a transition in that word, that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. How about you? You see, as troubling times come, I can put my assurance in Christ because He's promised to never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Thessalonica, we were greatly encouraged with the word from Timotheus. Hey, church, we are a living testimony. The world right now, don't tell them. They're going bonkers. I talked to the men about it this morning. And maybe I should share that with you. Maybe on, I'll share that with you. Passage. The world's going bonkers. Why? Fear of death. That's the bottom line. But we as God's people, I don't fear death. Oh, maybe I fear the way I'm going to die. But I don't fear death. Is to be absent from this body, is to be present with the Lord. Oh, are you saved today? Do you know, I couldn't imagine going through something like what we're going through right now, brother, and be lost. Wow. I mean, talk about a double whammy. That's a major problem. I'm going to hell when I die. I have no idea what death's going to cause. And now we got this virus that's wiping out people. And it's serious. I'm not trying to, I don't want to make light of it at all. And I don't think we should. Okay? You know what? As God, as a child of God, it's out of my hands. I need to pray about it. I need to ask God to enable those people that have way more brains than I do to be able to come up with an antidote, if that's God's will. We need to pray that way. We should be. But you know what? I don't want to fear that. I don't want to fear death. Oh, but we should be letting this troubling time come into our life and building those things that we talked about. But once again, coming back to our anchor is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll keep the broadcast going for just a little bit longer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me just talk for just a moment here today by way of an invitation. And I know this is not the way we do an invitation necessarily, but possibly you're in a living room setting, or maybe you're at your kitchen table, and God's challenged you in some way. Maybe you're at a, I don't know where you might be watching it, but as long as you're not driving, possibly God's challenged you in some way about this passage of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And Beck's going to play an invitation song. We'll keep the live stream going for just a little bit if we can. And if you're here in the building, we do have a handful of people here, again. But if you want to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about something, feel free to do that. Wherever you are right now, if you're not saved, if you're here in this room and you're not saved, if you're listening at home and you're not saved, oh, would you turn to Jesus right now? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It might be a week from right now and you're hearing this. If you're not saved, would you pick up your phone and call me? You can find my telephone number on the website, anchoredinjesus.com. Please call me. I would love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And we're just going to pause here for a few moments and have a song of invitation. We can do business with God right here in this room. Maybe you need to do business with God wherever you are. Troubling times, they're valuable. Oh, they're valuable. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for being here today. Again, I'd like to just speak to those, especially that are watching online. We really want to stay in communication with you. We want to meet your needs. Just because of what's happening right now doesn't mean that we can't continue to communicate. We have all types of communication. And in all seriousness, Pastor Nathan and I want to be available to each and every one of you. If there's anything at all we can do, you should have both of our telephone numbers, and we'll do the best we can. Again, it's kind of a daily situation right now, but we have plans for the week that are laid out.
We mentioned those already, meeting here at 7 o'clock. We'll have just a handful of people here to run the camera, run the soundboard, play the piano. No one else come, though. Watch online, please. But we don't even know if that's going to still be available come Wednesday. Who knows? But God does. But again, please take every precaution you need to. We're praying for each and every one of you. But please email us prayer requests. I want you to know as well that I had two phone calls come in today, people looking for church. Not necessarily looking for church because they didn't have one, just brand new people that got gospel tracts. We have stickers to put on the tracts. If you would like to stop by the office and get a page of those that talk about the live streaming and the website. And is there anything else, Pastor Nathan, that I need to mention? Okay, so God willing, we'll be able to tune in on a Wednesday night for the prayer meeting. But again, if you're able to get a Facebook account, if you don't have one, I'm not telling you to do that. You're going to have to make that decision. But I would love to be able to engage with you. We'll try to figure out if there's another way. But these 8 minutes at 8 p.m. and possibly tonight, I'll even have one. We'll see. I don't know, but I'll let you know. But I'm so thankful to be able to preach the word of God. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And there's 4 in the basement. Okay, so they were separate, though, from us. They were 6 feet away. But 15 people in this building today. And yet, how many from the World Wide Web there? I'm thankful to preach the word of God. It's very exciting. So let's make the most of this, and let's give God the glory for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And Lord, as we get into our week, Lord, we honestly don't know what's coming. We're thankful that you're already there. You know the end from the beginning. And Lord, may we be faithful is our prayer. Lord, we pray that even today we would hear of someone getting saved. And we just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.